Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, June 3rd, 2016. My name is Angela Walton-Ranji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, as I promised last week, I am coming to you today from beautiful, sunny, and dry Burbank, California. It is lovely here. Oh my gosh. I arrived here day before yesterday and I've seen quite a few people and I'm just excited because I am here to attend the 47th annual Southern California Genealogical Society Jamboree 2016. And guess what? Today, I have a special guest with me. Everyone, I am so excited because I have a member with me who is part of a special African American track here at the Jamboree, and I think a few of you know her name. Her name, Nika Sewell Smith. Yes, Nika from Memphis, but many of us know her as someone also from California. Welcome, Nika Smith, to the African Roots Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, Nika, I know you are a veteran. How many jamborees have you attended before? You've been here several times.
I think this is the fourth time.
Wow. Okay, okay.
I think this is probably the fourth one, yeah.
The fourth one? Okay, I was trying to remember last night how many I've attended myself, and I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
so.
The first time I spoke was in 2013. It was right before we moved to Memphis.
So the fourth one. Oh, my goodness. And you are native to California. Now, I used to think you were always Northern California, but it turns out you're really Southern California. Is that right?
I'm sort of a weird hybrid. I'm like the Oakland Raiders, you know, or the Los Angeles Raiders, depending on which fan you're talking to.
Ah.
So you can kind of call me. I'm sort of like I'm like the Raiders. I was born and raised in Southern California, spent pretty much half my life there, and then went to college in the Bay Area, and then spent the other half of my currently living life in the Bay Area, and then now I am a Yankee living in Southern Territory.
Right, in western part of Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Oh my, that has to be a change. Oh my God.
It is. You know, I definitely would say I'm used to my Creature Comforts, my Trader Joe's, and you know, a number of different things, Nordstrom Rack. You know, other big city things that I'm used to. But now, you know, I have an affinity or an appreciation for, you know, growing your own vegetables and having a garden. In fact, before I came here, me and my father-in-law actually planted our garden, our yearly garden that we had. So we have peppers and tomatoes and cantaloupe and sweet potatoes and onions. I mean, we just have a big garden. We grow so much stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely didn't have that in Oakland.
Okay, quite a bit of a difference,
yes,
then.
Yes.
But you have to miss the ocean. I mean, I know you have the river, but you got to miss the ocean a little bit.
You know what? I'm a little spoiled because I grew up in Southern California, so you could get to the mountains and the ocean and the desert within an hour.
Wow.
You know, so for me, I grew up going to the beach and doing things like that. So as an adult, I guess I don't know. For me, it's just like, that's just normal.
Wow.
You know, so I guess I have to work a little bit harder for my son. Be like, oh, let's take you to the beach so you can see it, since he's not growing up around that.
Oh, bless his heart. Wow. your son is, several of us saw the baby for the first time last year.
Yes.
Here at the Jamboree.
Yes.
How old is he now?
He's a year and a half.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great.
He's
a cutie. Definitely. We're all watching him on Facebook grow up. So, well, here at the Jamboree, you're teaching three classes. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I sure am.
Oh, okay. What are you teaching?
So yesterday we had a session called Tracing Native American Genealogy or Ancestry Through Genealogy and DNA.
Uh-huh.
That session covered basically, you know, the ubiquitous story of the Indian princess that most people have when they start getting into genealogy or family history research, and how to locate her if she does indeed exist, record sets to look at, and then also using that in concert with your DNA results to look at people who have you know, source and verify lineages to a number of different families, focusing primarily on the five civilized tribes.
Okay. And you're also teaching two other courses?
Yes, two other courses. The other is called Everything You Wanted to Know About African American Genealogy But Were Afraid to Ask. And in that session, basically, it's an open forum in some ways for people who are new to researching African American genealogy, who have questions. They may not necessarily identify as African American. They might have a family member or close friend or someone that they are doing research for, and you know, they may be intimidated to ask African American researchers questions. You know, they may not feel comfortable, or you know, maybe something may be controversial and they're not sure. So I wanted to give folks that space to be able to do that. One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm pretty sure you picked up on it, is the number of just people of all types of walks of life who come into our sessions here.
Correct.
Even though we focus primarily on African American research, we have people that aren't just African American.
Correct. That's right. I noticed that yesterday.
So yeah. So that's that class, and then the next one is called Transcending the Black Hole.
Oh,
and
the black hole. Tell our listeners what or how you define the black hole.
So I came up with the term the black hole before finding your roots, but it's basically the time period where we don't have a federal census, which is between 1881 and 1899. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of researchers get caught up on this time period because we're so reliant on that 1890 census that was, you know, first burned and then destroyed by the government. And so I, you know, because I have great grandparents born during this time period, you know, I had to actively search for ways to try to verify their lineage, and, you know, record, you know, just anything about
them. That's right. That's
and so, yeah, so it eventually turned into a blog post that was after our episode of Finding Your Roots.
Wow.
And then I was like, you know, I should probably turn this into a presentation.
Into a presentation. Well, that's really great. Now, you are speaking in the African American roots track here. This is the second year at the Jamboree that they have offered a track focusing, which consists of at least six presenters, more than six sessions, but six presenters, including Shannon Christmas, Michael Henderson, yourself, of course, Dr. Janice Lovelace, Krista Cowan, many of us know her from Ancestry, and myself. I'm also presenting later as well. Are you going to have, with your tight schedule, a chance to hear any presenters? And if so, who are you going to try and squeeze in your schedule?
I definitely, Michael Henderson has a manumissions class, I think, that's coming up. I'm going to, unfortunately, due to scheduling stuff I have that's going on here, I'm going to miss Janice's session and yours tomorrow, unfortunately.
Yes.
But
yes.
I did catch Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon presented on tracing African-American family, you know, ancestries using DNA and genealogy. Had a really excellent session yesterday with that. It was very thorough, you know, and you know, just really energizing. And, you know, I actually really appreciated his candidness and, you know, just really being clear and concise about how to actually to trace lineages. You know, and that's the thing. One of the things that people need to realize, especially with DNA, is the principles apply regardless of race, right?
Correct.
These principles and skills and things that you learn or pick up during workshops or conference sessions, they're transferable to other ethnic groups. It's not just
African-American
or, you know, Eastern European or whatever.
Anything. Right. Well, and you were a part of the DNA Day, which was yesterday. And I guess sort of what is your thought, I guess, maybe just have elaborate another few seconds about that. In terms of DNA itself, I've heard people saying, well, DNA is taking over. I chatted with someone yesterday from Indiana who was saying, well, you know, I think I'm done with the hardcore paper research part. I'm going to concentrate now on DNA. What is your thought? Do you think DNA is becoming even more of an essential tool in the research process? What's your thought about that?
I think it has become an essential tool, but if you're really into and focused on having sound research and a sound file, there's no way your DNA can operate without genealogy.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
It's impossible.
Correct.
You know, they don't operate separately.
Right.
You know, and in order for you to, you know, to talk to your matches, you know, converse with them about like lineages or where the relations may lie, you're still talking genealogy.
Correct.
You know, so in some ways, and that's one of the challenges, is for people who are really into research, like we are,
uh-huh.
we want everyone who takes the test to be interested in genealogy.
Right.
And a vast majority of these people who take the test are not
are
interested
not
in genealogy.
Like,
they want the percentages just like the person in the kills in the commercial.
Right,
you know,
right.
They want to be able to say, you know, I'm 12% Finnish or, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. Right?
Correct.
And so, you know, so by nature, you know, genealogy and DNA go hand in hand.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
On the same note, though, I think because it is hardcore evidence,
uh-huh.
just like a source document.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
That's the reason why I think it's dominating so much, is because it would be a different story if the DNA test was, this is what we think.
Right.
Right?
No, this is what it is.
Yeah, if uh-huh. there was an asterisk on your results, we think these are your relatives.
Uh-huh, right.
It'd be a different story if it was that. But this
right.
is hardcore proof. This is your mother. This
right.
is your father.
Right. right.
And so I think that's why people are taking it and, you know, they're abandoning, unfortunately, they're abandoning their traditional research to focus, because DNA can suck out so much time, because you're trying to triangulate, you're trying to find like surnames, locations, all these things, and but still, you're still doing genealogy.
Right.
Because if you're looking for location
uh-huh.
and like lineages, it's still genealogy. It's just framed from a different lens.
Well, what do you think about the fact, and in terms of just the reference, I guess I hear people thinking that, well, maybe I'll just take DNA and that'll solve it all. And a lot of people think that DNA is a shortcut. And they're not necessarily making up that perception. They're getting that perception because they'll watch a TV program, and on that TV program, suddenly there is an unknown parent or an unknown sibling, and this person's done no research, or one hears about the adopted children who are searching who is out there, and, well, let's just run it through this little program here. Oh, here's your sister right here. And, of course, these are heartwarming stories to a degree, but those of us on another part of the research world know, well, it's a lot more than that. And what do you think about that concept that, oh, just take a DNA test and your problems will be solved? What's the impact that that's going to have on the perception on how the process is conducted?
Well, you know, I guess I would coin that the Maury effect. You
the
know,
Maury,
anyone
yes.
who's familiar with popular culture and
yes.
television,
Maury,
you know,
Maury
Povich,
right. who's
married to Connie Chung.
Correct.
Who's a news reporter on TV.
You are the father.
Exactly.
You're not the father,
yeah,
right.
you are not the father. It's like,
correct.
You need to add that to the Oxford Dictionary, because
yeah,
everyone
right.
can say that. The reason why I bring that up is because on that show, it's presented, you know, the woman comes in and she's talking about the person who's supposed to be the father of her child, and you know, this and that, it sounds like all her problems are going to be solved because she's going to prove that he's the dad and that's it. And in some cases, the person was not the father. And
mm-hmm.
so now, unfortunately, with genetic genealogy, we have this, you know, me getting the answer to all my problems
uh-huh.
is
uh-huh.
you're taking this test.
Right.
That's what I call it. That's what I'm calling it, the Maury effect.
Right. Okay.
And so, you know, that's the thing. Because the two can't operate separately, they have to operate together. There's in some ways, yes, it's awful because some people think that it's going to answer all of their questions, but what I always tell people, especially when I do presentations, is when you take that test, it's going to actually give you more questions than it's going to give
right.
you answers.
Correct. Correct.
You will get some answers, but for the vast majority of you, you're going to say, well, you're going to start to question because you're being given another tool to
uh-huh.
analyze.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, think about the first document you ever saw
uh-huh.
doing research, right?
Yes.
On face value, let's say it's a marriage certificate. Oh, great. Here's the date they got married. But then as you matured in your research, you began to analyze all
right.
the lines.
Right.
Who was the officiant?
Correct.
Right. Who officiated over the
who
service?
Are the
who were the witnesses?
Who are
where,
these people?
Where did they get married?
Right.
Oh, it was in so-and-so's home. Well, how are they related to me, right?
Right.
And so that's what happens with DNA, is you get this test, you look at the percentages, then you pull up this list of relatives, and you're like, well, how do they fit in?
Wow.
And then the analysis part starts.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's why I'm not completely holding out hope that people are just going to abandon traditional genealogy.
Right.
Because they're still doing genealogy.
Right, that
it's
is correct.
Framed. It's just framed differently.
Well, it's interesting because we are attending a traditional conference.
Yes.
And of course, yesterday was DNA Day. There may be some other sessions where DNA, I'm sure, will come up and it's a part of the discussion. But as you just said, that there's no need to abandon that traditional research that we do. And coming to a conference such as this, you realize, oh, yeah, there's a lot I need to be looking at, a lot of primary sources, a lot of other kinds of things that are out there for me to do. At an event like this, what kind of advice do you give people, or would you give people who would attend a conference such as the Jamboree or any of the other either regional conferences, state genealogical society conferences, or the other two-thirds of the big three, NGS, FGS, and, of course, the Jamboree? What suggestion would you make for people coming to an event like this?
My suggestion is, number one, be social.
Yes.
Interact with
okay.
the people who are coming to the conferences, yes. regardless of whatever type of research that they're doing.
Right.
One of the things that I think that as a community that has benefited genealogy so much, especially in the age of social media, is the fact that we're able to share freely and pass on learnings to each other
mm-hmm.
all the time, whether it's a blog post, whether it's someone who got an epiphany and they wanted to share it in a group or things like that. Transfer that environment to the actual world. Nowadays, we're so antisocial. We're so, we get together and we sit at meals and everybody's on their phone.
And everyone's
looking
in their palm,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's
correct.
Like, you know, make a special
correct.
Effort to reach out to folks. And, you know, and maybe if you're introverted, start out at the tables at the exhibition hall and talk to the various vendors. Those people have been sent there by that company to evangelize genealogy to you.
Correct.
And so they are going to be talkative.
Right.
And they're
going
to want to chat you up and see if you will buy or patronize or do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps start there. I would definitely say be social is very, very important.
Wow.
Number two, before you get to the conference, look at the schedule and determine which classes you're going to take.
In advance. Yes.
You know, this is just like going to do a research trip.
Mm-hmm.
Before I do a research trip, I have researched where the address is, the phone number, hours of operation, what I'm going to look at, all that before I get there. So when I get there, I'm hitting the ground running. And I would suggest doing two class options per slot, just in case the class you want to go to is full, you have a backup option. The third thing I would definitely say is while you're, consider how you're going to take notes.
Uh-huh.
Before you get there.
Good point.
So, you know, if maybe you think, okay, I'll just bring my iPad. Okay, but you might not be able to type fast enough if a presenter is moving
uh-huh.
pretty quickly through material. So, and think about how you learn.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one of the things that I often tell people, regardless of genealogy or photography. It's a short story. I remember I was in college and I was studying for finals and midterms. And, my professors would go over the content. And, you know, I had handwritten this back in the olden days, right?
Yes,
we weren't bringing laptops and iPads to class, right?
You were chiseling them into
yes,
stone.
Yes, we were using an abacus.
Yes,
you know?
There you go.
And so I remember I would write down all my notes. And, you know, I remember I would flip through the pages and I had all the content down. But for me, I had to extrapolate it from my handwritten notes.
Yes.
In order for
you.
Me
right.
to be able to process it and memorize
uh-huh,
it
uh-huh.
again. And so what I started doing was taking my notes and typing them up, literally almost in the same format that I wrote them,
uh-huh.
but I would print them on colored sheets of paper because I have a photographic memory.
Okay.
And so when I would take my test, I would call up a particular, I would call up the blue sheet, and I would say, okay, this, and this was on that page because I remember exactly how it was laid
okay.
out.
Okay.
And so what I do now for genealogy is anything I'm trying to learn or pick up or whatever, I put it into a format that I can process
right.
for me in particular.
Okay.
It may be something that you can purchase or utilize if someone else already created, or maybe you can repurpose something
uh-huh.
that somebody's already done.
Correct.
So put it in a format that works for you. Taking notes is the exact same thing. If you know you're going to go home after a conference and those notes are just going to stay in that iPad and they're not going to go anywhere, then maybe you need to bring a notepad.
Wow.
Right. So,
there you
yeah.
go. There
you, know,
you go.
Transfer to how it works for you.
Absolutely.
You know, not one size fits all for everyone.
Wow. Fantastic advice. Well, Nika, many of us know you have another life online as well. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can sort of follow you and find you, that sort of thing.
I'm like, gosh, what's my other life online? I'm trying to figure out what it is. I've posted often, in fact, I have a lot of people that follow me for social justice issues on social media.
Okay.
It's something that I just, you know, it's like a stutter in my DNA, you know.
There you go.
It's like it's just part of who I am. You know, I always tell people I come from a very political family, not so much from the perspective of, oh, we've got a judge and a mayor and so-and-so, but it's a rite of passage in my family. One of the things I think about often is when we're together at reunions and we're all at breakfast looking at the scene, regardless of age, everyone is reading the newspaper, whether it's on their phone or it's an actual paper, and we're engaging each other and dialoguing, and by no means don't think that everyone in my family is in the same political party, because we have Republicans and we've got Democrats, but we are there and we discuss issues.
Right.
And so it's a rite of passage. You can't walk into the reunion and not know what Benghazi is, or, you know, it's just, you're just supposed to know. And so, as things happen, you know, that a lot of people tell me, they get there, they're like, I get my news from you. And I'm like, me?
And then, so that's part of your online
life. Yeah, that's part of my online
life. But you do some other things, you do some live things.
Oh, yes, that too.
Yes.
So, yeah, so monthly, me, as well as you, you're there, Bernice Bennett, Shelley Murphy, True Lewis, Ellen Fernandez, Sacco, James Morgan joins us with Okazaki.
These, you are referring to the Google Hangout?
Yes.
When is...
can you come back and...
Hi.
Oh, sorry about that. We almost got interrupted there coming into our hotel studio here. Well, when is the next Hangout, by the way?
The next Hangout's actually tonight. Yes, tonight. I love our group because we're multiracial and we do genealogy from a number of different vantage points. There are people who focus on African American research, people who focus on Latin research, Japanese research, you know, European research.
Absolutely.
And we all converge together on a monthly basis through a Google Hangout.
What time is the Hangout tonight?
Tonight, well, we are on. We're on Pacific Standard Time.
We're here out on the West Coast.
We're way out of our
normal
range.
I know. Hopefully, I'm out of sync.
And I also have to present tonight. So we're going to be meeting at 7:30 Pacific Time, which is 9:30.
10:30
Eastern
Time. I hope
tonight.
That our East Coast friends will be with us.
I tried. I was like, oh.
I know.
It's tough. It's tough. But if you miss tonight, we're going to be meeting again on June the 14th. Our regular time on June the 14th is a Tuesday. So we usually meet on like Tuesdays or Thursdays, but because we're having a conference,
absolutely,
we wanted to simulcast from the conference. And it is Tuesday, June 14th, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we're talking about Arkansas and Indian Territory genealogy research, which is our area.
My part of the country, absolutely.
Yes.
All right,
definitely.
Well, wow, I'm looking at the time here, and I think we're going to wrap it up just a little bit this week. We have sessions to attend and presentations to give, and but I just, I'm hoping to meet some of you later today at the Jamboree and hopefully tomorrow as well. And, of course, I do want to thank many of you who have been writing and dropping and sharing things with me. I will be putting up more announcements this time next week. Obviously, this is a special conference episode of the podcast. And looking forward to hearing some outstanding presentations today. So I want to thank Nika for joining me today here on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. And, of course, I look forward to you this time next week. I'll be coming to you from the Eastern Seaboard again, coming from back to from Maryland. I'll be back home in a couple of days after this conference is over. But, of course, thank you for bothering to tune in. I was so excited. I met a couple of listeners yesterday who happen to live out here in California. That was so, so nice to meet those ladies. And I'm hoping to meet a few more of you out here this week as well. But anyway, thank you all. And I know everyone is busy. I know you have a lot of things that you could be doing with your time. So the fact that you've taken 24 minutes out of your day to listen to me and to listen to my wonderful guests, it's greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. Summer is here, people. It is officially here, and it's officially hot. What can I say? But in the meantime, have a great week, and remember to keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time.